Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about the things we want to teach our kids that we didn't learn until we were adults. All right, so we're going to double dip this topic. Today, we've got the faith edition, and we're going to explore all the Catholic stuff that you don't need to wait until you're adult to know. And then next week, we'll do another round of this type of episode, and we'll do the non-faith edition for some real-life adulting skills that we want our kids to learn before they have to. Hashtag adult. Today's sponsor is Telos Art, and you can find that website at telosartshop.com. We'll put the link in our bio, and we're excited. In a few minutes, we'll share with you all the amazing products that you can find on that site. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. I got to tell you real quick. I was talking to my three-year-old right before coming to record, and I said, oh, I got to go record with Miss Sarah. And she said, why? I said, well, because if we don't talk, then there's no episodes. She said, why is there no episodes? And I said, well, because we need to make them. And she Well, then people just listen to Trent, meaning apologist Trent Horn.
Oh, Trent Horn.
And I'm like, okay, so my three-year-old understands that we listen to this, we make this podcast, but the fact that she's just like, well, people, if you're not around,
yeah,
just
we're not around. People will just listen to Trent. No big deal.
I'm like, okay, clearly we listen to Catholic podcasts.
That's so funny. Yeah, my kids help me pick what podcasts we're listening to sometimes. And yesterday they asked for Tim and Sarah. That's what they call it. They don't call it Home But Not Alone. They call it Tim and Sarah, which is funny to hear my kids say that.
Oh, well, my daughter just asks for you. She doesn't. She's like, let's listen to Miss Sarah.
Oh, that's like, so funny.
I'm like, all right, we'll do it again. We'll listen to the same episode 3 times in a row. Why not?
Well, they're good, right?
They are.
Hey, have you got anything on your desk to tell us about today?
So, yeah, we have these little fun window clings from what's that place? Telos Art. And they are each of the mysteries of the rosary. So I've got one with joyful, one sorrowful. I have one with glorious. I have and then there's this other thing. What is this? This is
the luminous.
No, this isn't the Luminous Mysteries. This is something else. This is that Benedict thing you were telling me about?
It's the little cross, right?
Yes,
and then the circle thing with all the letters around it, which I don't know what they mean, which I should have looked that up.
Yeah, that probably.
But it's like the Saint Benedict. It's the Saint Benedict medal. So that's what that window cling is. That's what I was asking.
Oh,
you about.
Okay. Because we were talking about that earlier. And I was
you
like,
found it.
Yes, it's right in front of me. So these are really cool, though. I haven't figured out where to put them because I know like somebody said something about put them in their car windows or something. But I'm like, yeah, my kids can't read, and I probably shouldn't read while driving. But I'm trying to figure out if there's somewhere, if there's a mirror or a window in my house or somewhere that
yeah,
I should put these
a mirror
in. They're really
cool.
Idea.
Do you have like a stainless steel fridge? Because I heard that the static clings stick to the stainless steel too.
I do. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that.
Here, I'll tell you what I did with mine. So please. I got this this glass jar. Like it's a tall cylinder shaped jar, and it has like a metal screw on top. And it's glass, so they stick to it. So I put them around the jar, like in a circle around the jar, and then I put all of our rosaries. We have like a billion rosaries. I don't know where we got all these rosaries, but so I put those in the jar. So this is our new rosary jar to keep all our rosaries, and I put it on our prayer shrine, and now it has these awesome window clings from Telos Art with all the mysteries on it. And I love these because it says what days you're supposed to say the mysteries. We're not there yet. In our family, we say 1 decade of the rosary every day. We don't say the whole full 5 decades. So it takes us like a week to get through the joyful mysteries. But it's cool. We hashtag goals. We want to get to saying the full 5 decades every day. And it's cool because these window clings tell you which days you're supposed to say them. And then next to each of the mysteries, like it says the Annunciation, pray pray for humility. So it has like the fruits of the mysteries to pray for. So those are helpful to us right now. But yeah, so that's what I did with mine. And I still haven't decided where I'm going to put my Saint Benedict one yet. I want to put it somewhere special because I love my Saint Benedict medal.
You know what? And I had seen it, but it had slipped my mind that it says the name or the days of the week that you're supposed to pray that particular mystery, because I try to pray the rosary as often as possible. Try is a key word there. Even after years of trying, I'm still like, wait, what day is it? Okay, I know what. Now what day is it? Now what mysteries? And I actually was getting a couple of them wrong for a while, and eventually I realized, oh, what am I doing? So it's really nice to have little reminders like that.
Yes.
To help.
Yes. So definitely check that out at telosartshop.com. So she has those window clings there. She's got amazing calendars and prints. Maybe I can tell you a little bit more about those next episode. And she has beautiful jewelry in her shop. I love her jewelry. It's like unique, one-of-a-kind jewelry. So that's telosartshop.com. So today we're going to chat about things that we are going to teach our kids, right? Things I'm going to teach my kids, Faith Edition. So Tim, what do you want to start us off with?
Okay, so the first thing that I really want to teach my kids about is divine mercy. So both my kids, both the one-year-old and the three-year-old, can already identify the divine mercy image. If I point to the image, my three-year-old will say, "That's mercy," or "Aww, that's divine mercy," or whatever she says, depending on the moment. The one-year-old can't say those words yet, but even just the other day, we're walking out of the church, and I say, "Hey, buddy, where's divine mercy?" And he turns around and he points right to the divine mercy image. And I'm like, "Okay, good. So we're starting that as early as possible."
He knows it. He just can't say it yet, right?
Exactly.
That's great. That's awesome.
And that's a big first step. But I really want to also teach them the history behind it, about Saint Faustina and her diary and receiving the vision of our Lord and how the painting came to be, and John Paul II declaring the first Sunday after Easter to be Divine Mercy Sunday, and how important Divine Mercy is and the very message of it. Like, I think that this is one, it's something that's so recent. I mean, I sit there and I've always used the example, or at least the last handful of years, people think of saints as being these people from 1,000, 2,000 years ago. They've long gone, turned to dust and everything. And I'm like, see, I've seen John Paul II. I saw him in person in 2000 or 99 or whatever it was. And it's like, that's in my lifetime. I've seen this guy. So, and he's a canonized saint. And this was something that he took very seriously. And it was a big part of his pontificate. So it's not an ancient thing. And I think knowing some of these more modern aspects of our faith, Jesus appearing to Saint Faustina, it's like that's something that happened relatively recently in the grand scheme of things. So I think not only does that help people to understand divine mercy and the importance of it and the power behind it, but also it helps to understand, look at this incredible thing that happened today. I can better relate to something that happened a long time ago. So that's I don't know, that's one of the things I want to teach my kids that I didn't really know a lot about until I was in, I don't know, my 20s.
Have you read the diary?
I have not. It's on my to-do list. I'm
okay. Yeah, me either.
I have.
It's pretty intense from what I've heard.
Yes, and oh gosh, it's a little intimidating. There are a lot of things out there I want to read, and that's on the list of things I want to read that I'm going to have to really push myself to read because I know it's not going to be easy to get through, and it's going to be challenging. Yeah, absolutely. Sarah, what about you? What's something you want to teach your kids?
Yeah, I've got one. I'd like to teach my kids how to read the catechism, like Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Could you teach me first?
So my husband and I are reading through it this year, like front to back. Like that's what we're doing together this year, because I've never actually read through it front to back before. But in recent years, I've really grown to love the catechism. And I just hit the index and I look stuff up. But it was amazing when I discovered, like, this thing is actually organized. Like, it's not just a big thing of random teachings, like all thrown in a pile. And I didn't know that. And obviously it's organized, like that makes sense. It's a book, it's well written. But I'd never sat down and read it. So I never realized like how it was organized. So I want my kids to like know that, to know the organization of the catechism and to know maybe how to look stuff up in it and maybe to read it. One of my brothers is, he's young. I have a brother who's in middle school right now and he's reading the catechism. And I just think that's so cool. And, you know, why not start reading the catechism and looking into it when you're in high school? It's a really important formative year, I think. But anyways, for the littler kids, I want to start with them right now. And I have this book. It's called Kitty Cat by Katie Warner, like K-I-D-D-I-E, cat, like a catechism for little kitties. It's a board.
That's clever.
It's so that's cute. So clever. And it's a board book and it has like really simple things on each page. And it's obviously it's only a few pages because it's a board book, but it's organized by the four pillars of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it's not just like her favorite things she picked out. I mean, it is, but it's organized with the same organization of the four pillars in the Catechism. So the Catechism has the Creed is the first part and then the sacraments and then the moral life or the commandments and then prayer life. And like, that's an easy thing that I can teach my kids. Even when I'm reading them a board book when they're 5 years old. So I just think that, you know, teaching them how to get into that and how to read that, I think we're off to a good start. And I don't know, I'm excited as they get older to see where we go with that and how much I can introduce them to it over the years.
That's really cool. Now, can you share a link or something or to where?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll totally put a link to Kitty Cat in the show notes. You can find it right on Amazon.
I would like that. Oh, gosh.
It's awesome. Yeah. And she has a lot of great books. I'll put a bunch of links in there so you can find those.
Awesome. Every time, I know it's not spelled this way, but every time you say kitty cat, I just hear it.
I think that's what my youngest kids who aren't reading yet, I think that's what they think it is, because they were like, why is this, when we got the book and I said, this book is called Kitty Cat, they were like, why is this book called Kitty Cat? It's a book about our faith. And I was like, yeah.
There's nothing in it about kitties.
Oh,
that's too funny. I feel like that should be like a book about the catechism, but told from the perspective of a cat. I feel like, I don't know. Like I've always
that's
said
a funny idea.
if people ever make like an animated animal version of the life of Christ, like they just need to make the lepers that he cures, just make the lepers leopards.
Oh.
Because it's so close. And I don't know, I've always, I don't know, that's just how my brain, I want to say works, but I think I have to go with doesn't work anyway.
Doesn't work.
My brain doesn't work most of the time. I'm gonna jump to another one. So
yeah.
I did not, as a child, I didn't learn the St. Michael the Archangel prayer.
No.
Now, I don't know if my parents prayed it around me and I just didn't pick up on it, or if they, if it was, I don't really remember it being prayed at my school and as I was going through Catholic school. And I don't know why. I don't know. I know that I feel like that prayer has had a resurgence in the last few years, that a lot of people, priests, bishops, members of the laity are saying, I don't know, we need to pray this more. We need to pray this more. And it's catching on again. And it's not like it's never been there, but it's just not something that was a regular part of my spiritual development when I was younger.
Right.
And I think the idea, and this is a real struggle, spiritual warfare is real.
But
at the same time, we don't want children to be scared of things that they are not old enough to understand. So I think the St. Michael the Archangel prayer is a really good way of starting to introduce them to that, and also to call upon St. Michael for, you know, his protection. I also think, you know, there are other prayers. Like, I don't remember learning the Memorare when I was a kid, or I don't remember learning the Hail Holy Queen. And, you know, these are all
okay. It's funny, all these prayers that you're listing. We said the rosary as a family every day growing up, and every single one of these prayers that you're listing, my parents like tacked on at the end of our rosary. So like after we were done with the rosary, there was like an extra 10 minutes of all the important prayers that we needed to say every day. So yes, I grew up knowing the St. Michael prayer, the Memorare, the Hail Holy Queen, and like three or four other different prayers tacked on to the end of the rosary, which to me as a kid, sometimes I was like, oh, this is not part of the rosary. But now that, you know, I'm grown up and I'm like, I want my kids to learn these prayers. Like that was a really good strategy because they just kind of like rolled off your tongue at the end of the rosary, kind of like in a particular order. Like I could probably still say all those prayers in the right order. But our like priests would ask in confession sometimes like, oh, do you know the Memorare? Like, could you say that for your penance? So I'm like, yeah, I know that prayer. But that's good that you like, you know, you want to teach this to your kids because I think that is important. And I'm really glad that I grew up knowing all those prayers.
Well, that's the thing. And I was also the kind of kid where we could have prayed the rosary every single night with a list of other prayers following. And I probably still wouldn't have retained it. I probably would have just been like, oh, I'm so bored. Why is Power Rangers not happening now? Right. I should be an X-Men. Like, you know, this was... I still think I should be one of the X-Men, but you know, I don't have any powers or energy or anything that would contribute to the
energy. Yeah. Nope.
Team of superheroes.
Okay. Other than memorized prayers, I want to teach my kids other types of prayer.
Okay.
Meditation. I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but I want to teach my kids like how to, you know, just meditate on different things, like meditating on the rosary, not necessarily just praying the rosary, like for the words, but like meditating on the mysteries of the rosary or meditating on a Bible passage or just meditating on some important aspect of life, like meditating on, you know, the four last things. So I want to teach my kids how to do that. I haven't started doing that, but, you know, maybe at some point soon I should start doing that because it is something I want to do. Another type of prayer is just listening to the Holy Spirit. I want to teach them how to listen to the Holy Spirit as a type of prayer. And this is when we have started. So before we say our Decade of the Rosary at night, we just take like a few deep breaths to calm the crazies down and kind of close your eyes if you want and relax. And we all breathe together. And then I just say, come Holy Spirit. And then everyone is quiet. And then we just spend a few minutes being quiet. And then at the end of the few minutes, I invite everyone to kind of go around in the family. And, you know, do you want to share something that the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart today? And it's adorable, some of the things that the kids tell us that the Holy Spirit is speaking in their hearts. And it's really insightful too. Like one of my kids once said, I'm not really sure how to know if it's something that the Holy Spirit is speaking in my heart or if it's something I'm just thinking. And I was like, this is exactly why we need to you can learn this now. Like that is something I'm still learning. Is it something the Holy Spirit is speaking to me or something that I'm just thinking? And so I don't know. I think the kids are really picking up on it well. And it's really interesting just to hear what's on their hearts and like what the Holy Spirit is putting in their lives. So that one, I'd like to learn Lectio Divina myself and then maybe teach that to the kids when I learn it. But, you know, like you said, some of these things you don't learn until you're adult and we pass on what we can. But yeah, those are just a few different types of prayer, you know, so they know that prayer doesn't just mean formal memorized prayers or going to mass, but like it can be a more of an interior conversation.
That's really good. And I really like the idea that you brought up about how we're still learning. And yeah, there are things I do want to learn, and more of this will come up on next week's episode, but I want to learn how to do certain things. I want to learn how to live certain things for me, but also because as I learn them, I can then lead my children through them. And I think that's a big thing. Another thing for me is I want to teach my children about how the church really is universal. So we have, you know, we have the Novus Ordo Mass, we have the Common Language Mass, and that's primarily what we attend. But then there's the Latin Mass, which we attend periodically, and there are other rites. There are the Eastern rites, and there are these different Catholic rites that are equally as Catholic as the what we call the Latin Rite or the Roman Catholic Church, whatever we want to often refer to ourselves as.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what the Eastern Rites were until, I don't know, just a handful of years ago. And even as recently as the other day, I heard somebody say that they belong to a Byzantine Catholic Church or something like this.
Yeah.
And the pews had been taken out completely. And the kids are essentially given, the little kids are essentially given plenty of freedom to behave like little kids.
Oh, man, that would be nice.
And no one questions it. And I mentioned that to someone actually earlier today while at Mass. We didn't have Mass. We had a rosary. And afterwards, I leaned over to somebody. I said, I'm starting to see the appeal of that sort of thing. And she goes, yeah. That sounds kind of like Montessori Mass. And I thought, I love it. But, you know, just these ideas, I don't plan on, you know.
No, switching rights or something over that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't. And
you're
going to
be a little bit more serious before you actually switch rights. But yes. You can, yeah. So like you said, you can go to Mass. Like, you're allowed to go to Mass in any of those different valid Catholic rites. And I didn't know that until just very recently.
Same. And I think that's something that a lack of knowledge of things like that leads to greater division in the Catholic Church. So I don't want my children to contribute to that. I want them to contribute to unity within Christ's Church. So that's something.
Well, and I like that you said you sometimes go to like the ordinary form and sometimes the extraordinary form, sometimes the English, sometimes the Latin. I think that's good, even just to like pop in from time to time to a different form or a different rite, just to show the kids like this is out there and this is part of our church, even though it's not our traditions, to just expose them to it. We're currently bouncing back and forth between English and Latin. And I just think that it's good for them, like you said, promote that unity.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, I would have understood it as, oh, the Mass used to be in Latin, now it's in English. And I heard a priest explaining the other day something about, you know, Vatican II didn't say, okay, let's make the Mass in the common language. It was, no, we can have it in the common language, but let's also make sure to still have it in the Latin. And yeah. So it's preserving of both. And I was like, I didn't know that growing up, but I want my kids to be aware of that. And even, you know, building on that a little bit, I want my kids to know biblical history. I want them to know church history. And I knew some growing up. I want them to know more, because I think a lack of knowledge of history with anything, whether it's about the country, whether it's about the church, whether it's about, it doesn't matter. When you don't know your own history, you're going to misunderstand why things happen, why things exist. You're going to put them in the wrong context or take them entirely out of context.
So yeah.
I want to help my kids learn more biblical history and church history so that some of these other confusing things, you know, don't happen for them.
I took a church history class in high school once and it was really hard.
Well, I'm sure it was. It wasn't taught by me.
I'm not very good with history, so.
Well, and I think, and I say this with respect to a lot of teachers out there, and I think I've said this before on the podcast, but there are a lot of teachers who handle history well and a lot who struggle with it. And there are certain ways to put it in context where you realize this is fascinating. This is something that, you know, but also I don't care how interesting a teacher is, if they tried to teach me math, I'm still like, oh my gosh, put me anywhere else.
I get it.
I made a joke about something the other day and my wife looks at me and goes, no, this isn't the Estabrooks house. Okay. This isn't, leave math to them. Okay. This is not for us. And I was like,
too funny.
It's true. What else do you got, Sarah?
Yeah, I got one more. I would like to teach my kids at least a little bit about the discernment of charisms. Did we talk about discernment of charisms on the podcast before?
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, Sarah. I don't know what we're talking about on the podcast before.
Oh, I remember what I had for breakfast. It was good. Eggs and hash browns today. It was so good.
Yeah.
Discernment of charisms. Now I'm hungry. So charisms are special gifts from the Holy Spirit. So we all have, you know, like when we're confirmed, we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But every one of us has a special gift from the Holy Spirit, the way that he's calling us like to be most fully who we are. And these gifts that he's calling us to use to serve the church and to give him glory. And everybody has these. And I had like no clue what a charism even was. And then a few years ago, I did this discernment of charism. And it was like my entire life, like, was all of a sudden, like, lit up. Like, I understood it. It was lined up before my eyes. And it was like, that's why I have this gift. That's why I'm good at that. That's why I'm supposed to be doing this. So my charisms are teaching and hospitality. And I remember just even as a kid, like in high school, just being the one who went out of my way to like welcome the new kid, do something funny to put someone at ease in a group, organize like a frisbee game or organize a basketball get together. And like, that has always, hospitality has always been something that invigorates me. And like, I wish I had known at the time that this was not just something that I happened to be good at, like a talent that I have, but this was an actual gift from God to serve God. And every time I use it, I give him glory. You know, I'm helping people in a spiritual sense and not just in like a worldly sense. And I think that it has totally like made my adult life better knowing about the charisms and discerning them and then being purposeful about developing these in my life. And so I want to teach that to my kids and I want to help my kids discern it. And I kind of look at my kids in that way. And even just myself trying to understand like, what are the gifts that maybe I see in my kids that God is giving them and how can I help them develop that? So I think one of my kids has the gift, might have the gift of encouragement. So that's the gift where, you know, it helps you stand by people, bring people comfort, you know, help people feel helped. And I really think that she has this gift. Like she just has this big heart inside of her. And so I encourage her in that. Like I say, you know, you have this gift that you help people just by being with them, just by talking to them, and encouraging her to use that gift to bring people joy and to help people know Christ and just to feel more fulfilled herself, knowing that this is what she's good at because this is something that God has given to her. It's a special gift. So I want to help, you know, some of my other kids, they're still young, so I'm still working on it. And throughout our lives, it's not like a one-time discernment thing. You can discern the charisms like continuously every few years or whatever to see what gifts God is calling you to use in your life. But I think for our kids, especially like when it's like school is your main job, right? Kids have to do school and it's like, are you doing good in school or not? Like that doesn't have to define their worth, even though that takes up most of their day. I think that they should also learn how to discern their charisms and develop their charisms.
You know what that makes me think of is we should do an episode where we take a bunch of big churchy words like charisms and break them down into easy to understand phrasing. Because that is such, I think, a struggle for people. I don't know, me at least. And I think it leads to a lot of division between Catholics and non-Catholics, but even a lot of Catholics.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Catholics and other Catholics.
Yes. I think because we use words and some people are like, I don't know what that means. I guess I'm not in the club or how to, you know, and I've been to confession where the priest is like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm going to have to ask you to back up because I don't know what six of those seven words you just said meant. And the one I understood was the, like, you know, that sort of thing. So let's break down. Let's do that where we break down.
Let's do it. Yeah. I'll start making words. A list. This is awesome.
Well, we just want to thank everybody for listening. And again, thanks to Telos Art for sponsoring this episode. Join us next time for Things I'm Going to Teach My Kids Non-Faith Edition. So if you could do us a favor, please, and subscribe to this podcast. Also, maybe rate us on if you have an iPhone, do the iTunes rate thing or go to iTunes on the computer and rate us, leave a review. Those help so that other people are like, hey, I want to listen to that. But also it helps increase how quickly our thing pops up when people search for stuff. So yeah, if you could share this podcast, subscribe to it, follow us on social media, whatever you can do, we'd appreciate it. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com or on social media at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at ChasteLove.org or at TheChasteLove on social media. And I got to tell you, when I find myself gaining weight, I don't think of it as me getting bigger. I think of it as my shirts giving me a nice, much-needed hug. And remember, you're never alone.